You can't ghost people if you want to make friends. That's just how it is.
There is the quote of the day.
And that, listeners, you'll hear that again.
That's actually a keeper. You can't ghost people if you want to make friends. Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as much as you'll hear, and as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance. And that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome to Christ in All Things. I am Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Shockman.
And we have a special guest with us today named...
Carrie Helwig.
Yay. Delighted to have you, Carrie. We had a lot of fun off air before as we were getting settings ready. So
maybe just a little bit too much.
we're delighted to have you with us, Carrie. And so let's dive in on, you know, you are Carrie, and it's C-A-R-R.
No, it's
K-E-R-R-I.
And it's not short for anything. That's the way it is listed on your birth certificate.
Yep.
Which is really fun.
So what does it mean?
Well, the actual definition, like I've looked up like origins of it, and I guess it's Irish.
Indeed.
Just out of curiosity, I looked it up, and that's what I found. But my parents were not like Irish, you know, by any means.
They just like the name.
Well, it kind of has some sort of a background, I guess. So my parents had a good family friend who, my dad and the brother of this other family, they were best friends like growing up in high school, and it's a bit of a sad story. So his best friend in high school had a sister named Sherry, and so that's where I got my name from, was her. They kind of, you know, didn't want to do exactly, so they just kind of picked something that rhymed a little bit.
Yeah.
But Sherry and her family were hit by a drunk driver, and all but one of their daughters, one out of two of them, she was the only survivor of that. So
no
it's
kidding.
Kind of, yeah, it was kind of like a...
So the whole family...
Yeah, the mom, the dad, the other daughter, they all passed away from this drunk driving incident.
Sherry was the only survivor.
No, the sister was the mom at this point.
Okay.
So.
Got it. Mm-hmm. But Sherry was one of those who died in the accident.
Yeah.
So Carrie means dark and mysterious. Maybe unknowingly, right, made a reference to the reason they picked that name, dark and mysterious.
What an interesting, did they talk to you much about that when you were growing up? You just know the story of the name?
I can't remember when she passed away, but it was after I was old enough to know that they weren't around.
Right.
So like we didn't particularly hang out as like my parents didn't hang out with Sherry that much in adulthood.
Yeah.
So like I never had really any interaction with her. But I just I think after, you know, hanging out with my dad's friend, we they eventually just kind of told me the story. But
how did you feel when you heard that story?
I thought it was interesting. I knew that, like, so the remaining daughter who was around still kind of was adopted or whatever by her grandparents, and we did family function stuff with them and everything. So it had been a long time after Sherry was gone when I finally knew and understood the story.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it was, and I was younger, so it was just one of those things where it's like interesting to know, but it wasn't like, it's more impactful to me now than it was then.
I would imagine.
How
so?
I mean, I'm a lot closer to, you know, probably the age that she was.
Oh, sure.
So like it's you understand things differently, think, as an adult, even if it's something you knew as a child.
Yep.
You just think back on it and you're like, wow, that's actually really interesting, or like hits you in a different way, or
I love these questions on the name, because it, on the one hand, it seems so simple, and then you kind of dive into it, and very often there's a really fascinating story. And I kind of resonate with you. There's a whole story with my parents behind my name, and the older I get, the more I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So Carrie, we know your first name, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Rhymes with Sherry.
Yeah.
That's why they picked it.
Yep.
And that's why it was chosen for you. So Carrie does come from Irish roots. It actually comes from the clan Karen. And it means, again, it means dark and mysterious. Your middle name?
Anne.
With an E.
Mm-hmm. With an E.
Have you ever dug into what that one means?
No. As far as I understand, they picked that because it sounded good with Carrie. And it's just like a filler.
There
you go.
A
quick, short little one.
Carrie Ann. So from its Irish roots, it means radiance or brilliance. So dark and mysterious, that's radiant, right? But it also it also comes from a Hebrew root, right? You can get to Ann from a Hebrew root. And if it comes from the Hebrew and biblical root, it means grace, or God has favored me, right? So either way, whether it's Irish or Hebrew in origin, Anne refers to something that's radiant or someone that God has favored, which I thought was pretty interesting too.
It is interesting.
So now
you. So how do you feel knowing, hearing that side of it?
I honestly didn't, you know, I'd never really like researched my middle name at all. So it's.
Because it was just a filler.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, because it was just a filler.
Yeah. But it's actually really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So your last name, maiden name, Foster,
mm-hmm.
married name, Helwig. So let's talk about your maiden name. Do you know what that one means?
Well, my teachers in high school like to crack jokes in sociology about, you know, like foster children. But
okay.
Couldn't be further from
I
the
I was
truth.
Hoping That's it would be about really... the beer from Australia or something. Okay.
No,
yeah,
that
no.
was...
And Australians would tell you that, like Germans, we export the worst of our beer.
Yeah.
We keep the good stuff for ourselves.
Makes sense.
Is that right? So Foster, from the German root, means works in a forest. Makes sense. From the French root, and this one I thought you might appreciate more, means scissor maker.
Okay.
Or even one who makes with scissors.
I am pretty crafty.
You are pretty crafty.
I thought you might like that, right? And then there's the Helwig, which is your married name,
mm-hmm.
right?
What is a Helwig?
A Helwig.
Very German.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It means literally luck war.
What?
A luck in war. Or you could translate it as a bright battle or a shining war. Generally, it was applied to people who were victorious in battle time and time again.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you could
Brett's,
say...
Brett's kind of got that.
Yeah.
Beard, you know, I'm a German. I used to eat trees, kind of, you know.
I used to eat trees.
That's not what it says at all. What am I going to do with you? All right. So Carrie Ann Helwig, or which is your name currently. Mm-hmm. So if we string it all together, right, it's a mysterious grace that is a shining battle.
Well, there you go. She's nodding her head going, yeah.
Which doesn't really fill in, but the more we get into the next question, we might find. And I think we've seen this before, Pastor O'Donnell. I think this is one of the beautiful things about actually asking about what your name means. The more we get in then to the story of what has shaped and formed you into who you are, the more often we link back to these meanings of your name and go, wow, nobody could have guessed that, right? So often the biblical names are chosen based on the circumstances of the person's birth or the prophesied nature of that person's life, right? And I think often when we reflect back on our names, we see them play out in ways that we wouldn't necessarily think. But it's just the way God maps it out. For instance, Jason Alex means healing leader. Who'd have thunk that I'd end up in this gig, right?
And you're a Lutheran, not a Pentecostal pastor.
I know. Lord, Lord.
There you go.
It's such a good thing.
So, Carrie, on to the second question then. So what are, you know, we asked you, what are the top 3 to 5 things that kind of formed you as a human being? What's the top thing that comes to mind for you when you hear that enormous question?
Yeah, that one's pretty loaded. I guess, you know, a big thing is I grew up in the faith very, very strongly. My parents were incredible with that. You know, they were tough on us at times. Like, you better get your butt up and go get ready for church, like, because we're going.
No, and you said us, so I'm assuming we're talking siblings.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a younger sister and a younger brother.
Okay.
Now,
if I remember, your farm family?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. What kind of farm?
So it's northern Illinois, so it's pretty flat. So we just do row crops, which is corn and soybeans.
Okay.
What part of northern Illinois?
Like Dixon, Rochelle.
Got it.
Yeah. In between there, really, because if I told you exactly where, you'd have no idea what I was talking about.
Try me.
So, but
West Brooklyn, Illinois.
West Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you want to be specific.
No, we are.
So, Christian faith, deeply mm-hmm. important for your parents. Now, were they, you're a Lutheran now in mm-hmm. marriage, but you grew up denominationally?
Non-denominational.
Non-denom. Mm-hmm. And is that where your parents both came from, or was that something they came to agreement on?
I think, yeah, it was, so my, oh gosh, I'm trying to think back to, like, how my parents, like, where they grew up in. But they actually met at a Christian, like, youth Bible study.
Okay.
Is where they actually met, and that was like an open Bible church.
Yeah.
How
old were they?
Oh gosh. I was born, I think, when my mom was like 22. So it had to have been.
So they were in late early, teens, maybe?
Late teens, early 20s, yes. Yeah. Because my dad's 2 years older.
Okay.
So yeah, real early there in life.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you and Brett got married. I mean, how old were when you and Brett got married?
When we actually got married, I was 24, I think.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
No, close.
She likes to, you know, throw me a little shade sometimes that I haven't had a kid yet, and I was born when she was 22, but
yeah,
we'll ignore that fact.
Gotcha.
Mom does. Mom throws you the shade on that.
Yeah, mom does.
Fun.
I would imagine.
Yep. She has fun with it, so.
So talk a little bit more about being raised in the faith. You know, so you said there was no option on Sunday morning.
Right. Yep. I don't know. They had us going to youth group every week as well.
Okay.
They would drive us around and take us to all the things, you know, for being involved. And at the church that we went to when I was in high school, they would make sure that, you know, like they made good friends with some other church members, and those were our friends too. Like their kids were our friends. So gotcha. It was like very, like very involved, like in that way. Just making actual friends in real life versus like someone you say hi to, you know, yeah. They were very,
so those friends that you had through your parents' friends, mm-hmm. that wasn't an option either. These are kinda mom not. And dad's friends. Sure. Their kids.
Yeah, right.
These are your friends.
These are your friends.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it was kind of like, you know, you grow up with these kids and they're just kind of someone who's always like going to be like around in life and stuff. So it's like, we don't talk super frequently anymore. But you know, they're someone who's always like, I could reach out to and be like, hey, how you doing?
But you do have some contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like phone numbers and social media and stuff. So gotcha. Like I could reach out to them if I okay. wanted to at any time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So were your parents involved in church stuff at all?
Yeah. So when we, at the church when I was younger that we went to, they were actually youth leaders.
Oh, yeah?
So they'd help with the youth group and us, you know, elementary, like middle schoolers got to tag along for the youth retreat. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, with the older kids?
With the big kids, yeah. So we would we got to hang out because we were there with our parents and they were like...
So that says something to me mm-hmm. because... Very often, as parents, we kind of focus on the age group that our kids are in. But your parents were working
high schoolers.
They were they were involved in with kids that weren't in. Did you kind of grow up into that? That were they still youth leaders in high school when you got to high school?
And also, we actually switched churches before then.
Sure.
Yeah, with non-denominational stuff can get weird. So we were like, this is weird. Peace out. And then I was very angry. I was like, oh gosh, I had to have been in like seventh grade. I was very angry with them for a long time. And
for the church switch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And I kind of pushed everybody away.
Oh, wow.
For probably about a year or so.
Sure.
But then eventually, you know, as people were trying to be my friend more and more, I was like, all right, you know, it's
in the new church that you were attending.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because a lot of kids that were at my old church were also people that I was in school with.
Oh, sure.
So there was like, I know these people from school and we go to church together. And now you're going to pull me into a different church with all these other kids that are at different schools, like... What am I supposed to do? I'm not going to have any friends.
Yeah.
I'm like 14 years old. This is a critical time for me.
Yeah.
So how'd that work out for you?
It worked out in the end. It did. Because like the parents or the friends, the mandatory friends, quote, are the ones at our second church. So I came around.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did it go for your younger siblings?
A lot better, I think, because so when I was at the previous church, I was already in youth group at that time, and they were too young to be in youth group still. So when we went to the new church, they let me slide in because I was in youth group at my previous church. So I was the youngest one in there. I felt, I don't know what the good word for it is, but I didn't feel... I was like, I'm the youngest kid in here. Like, who am I supposed to be friends with? That dude's like 20 over there. He was probably 17. But yeah.
But when you're 13 or 14, that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah. So
yeah. I got when a guy shows up to youth group rocking a mustache and you're like, no.
I'm like, I'm 12. Sorry, I gotta go.
I'm out.
Number one is it. For you, you were raised in the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to church. This is part of who you are.
But life. I think we shouldn't jump past the story of how the church changing mm-hmm. also affected you.
Yeah.
Right. Because that I imagine had some lasting effects on you as far as transitioning from high school to college or from junior high to high school when other things changed as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's particularly easy for me to like make friends. Maybe it comes from that where I had friends and they were, quote, taken away and I had to try and make new friends. It's not one of my strong suits, I guess. If I'm talking like, I can socialize, like that's not a big deal. It's like finding or like making connections with like having a real, like true friend where it's like, I can call you on my worst day and, you know, like a friend like that. Those are hard for me to like find.
Like a friend that's like forged in Christ's wisdom.
Yeah.
So let potential slight diversion here, but since you raised it, I want to go down that road. We this year we've been doing this theme mm-hmm. on friendship,
mm-hmm.
and you know you just mentioned that kind of making friends is not an easy thing for you,
right?
So how have you received all this talk about friendship in church these last few months? Has that been challenging for you?
Yeah, I would say it's like, I don't know, what should I be doing differently? Is there something that, like, in my head I need to figure out? Or, I don't know, is it that I'm just being too selective? Like, I don't know.
These are good questions. My sense is, Carrie, is especially as I've talked to people and people are starting to talk to me, my sense is you're not unique. There are a goodly number of people who are, since we're talking about this and teaching on it, I think for some it's unintentionally enhanced a sense of loneliness.
Yep.
And yeah.
Almost in an eye-opening way.
Yeah.
Where I thought I had friends, right? And I thought I knew people, but Pastor, the way you're talking about a friend, I don't know that I have one of those. Or I don't act toward people that way because I just don't pick one and go, oh, okay, yeah, you'll be my friend. Right? We wait for things to develop or we wait for a closeness to be felt. Carrie, I know you're not alone in that mm-hmm. heightened sense of, boy, am I not good at this? Right? What should I be doing different? And part of the challenge, I think, even for us is in the midst of this, we're preaching to ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not even that I'm looking for the here's the three things I need to do in order to be a good Christian friend. Right. As much as I'm seeing these themes that play out in scripture that we can allow to play out in our life with people together or we can get in the way of it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in fear, often we get in the way of it or we get trapped in our own head and we get in the way of it. And so like my encouragement through this sermon series on friendship in the middle of the week that we've been doing in Lent is really to let God's word form and shape our thinking about friendship. So the first week it was, hey, look, this isn't rocket science. This is you just do this. You just make friends. And week two, or the first actual week, Ash Wednesday, was we're going to look at this and God's going to give us wisdom on this. And then the next week was it's discovered in grace. Right, where it is a gift of God's grace that we have friends and that we're called to be friends with other people. It's not something we manufacture necessarily, but it does take work, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
It does. It does.
You can't ghost people if you want to make friends. That's just how it is.
There is the quote of the day.
And that, listeners, you'll hear that again.
That's actually a keeper. You can't ghost people if you want to make friends.
Right.
Certainly if you want to keep them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've learned, Carrie, that making friends is a challenge for you, and maybe has been a challenge for you since you were told who your friends were. And then, you said the kids you were told these are your friends, they were at the second church?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So you kind of got drugged into friendship then in the second church.
Drugged.
However
you want. It's a lot different than drugged.
I know.
Dragged, my friend.
I know. It's the story I tell about when I was a kid, I got drugged to church.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, don't go there.
Wrong church. Next.
So when you are told these are your friends, that's not necessarily the same kind of friendship relationship as you have with people that you develop a friendship with.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, looking back, I'm sure in the moment you didn't necessarily or weren't able to articulate it, but looking back, can you identify a difference between the friends that you were told these are your friends and the friends that you had at church and school before when you just kind of naturally developed them?
Yeah. I mean, I have friends. So like our high school is pretty small. So it's like, there was like 50 people there. So you either don't have friends or you find a couple people that you can get along with. and I still have like a couple of those friends, like to this day, we're still pretty close. But yeah, I can tell a difference between like, hey, we're all stuck here in this place together, as kids, and like we just hang out, our families hang out, and we're friends, versus people like, you know, I chose to be friends with. It's a different like interaction, I guess, kind of that way.
Sure.
Yeah, I can tell a difference, like how I interact with them, I guess.
Between the friends who were chosen for you and the friends that you chose.
Right. There's a deeper connection, I think, with the people that like I chose to be friends with, you know, because those are my people or whatever.
But interesting that we got, because we started with, you know, and we're still technically on number one.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, faith, but you know, the connection. And I'm glad you took us back to that, Pastor Shachman, because the movement of churches impacted your friendship and led us into an interesting part of the conversation. When we come back from our break, which we're going to take right now, we're going to go to number two on your list of the top things that formed Carrie Helwig as a human being. Come on back and join us. For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help us make Christ in All Things a self-supporting show and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a dozen environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straws to share with your friends. Pastor Shachman loves these.
That is so not true. You love those way too much, and I still can't believe you bought them. A donation of $200 or more gets you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And a handmade Christ in All Things leather folio by the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, well, fly us wherever you want, and we will record Christ in All Things at your chosen location. Within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or the old-fashioned way, give us a call, 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.